Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This podcast is made possible by our supporters over on Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get your own RSS feed with ad-free shows and extra episodes every month, then head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro.
And we're back for another edition of the Nerd Cave Retro Show, Take Two. My name is Jason Robbins.
And my name is Derek Diamond.
We were just talking about how great everything sounds right now, and then all of a sudden Audio Hijack just decides to stop recording.
That's what we would call the jinx.
The show sounds great.
A little too soon, but it's all right.
Sounds great. Nobody heard it, so yeah. We have to restart.
Which is a shame, because I think it's the best like 3 minutes of audio we've ever done.
It was
but
great.
Only those that were on YouTube will be able to hear it.
So all you YouTube people, you got to have a false start to the show. So we're going to restart again here. But Where did we leave off? What were we talking about? I forgot.
Oh, we were talking about how it'd be cool if you hosted your own morning radio show.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd have, like, Jacob come on, I come on, have Wally on. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I was talking about this. I always wanted to be a radio guy and listening to Howard Stern growing up and everything, and I always wanted my own radio show, and I had a dream that I got offered to do my own morning show. And I was so happy, and then I woke up and I was like, oh, back to real life.
Never mind.
Yeah.
That'd be fun, though.
Just sit in a studio for
a couple of hours.
Yeah, do that. Like I said, play some really cool old metal, like Cinderella or something in the morning. Like my own playlist. I don't want to play anything new. Nothing new.
We talk retro games, you have retro music.
Oh, that'd be awesome. We could do retro games on the show, like a morning show where we talk about some retro stuff like we do here. That'd be great.
Have the retro hour.
So if anybody has a radio station they want us to do a morning show on, get a hold of us, nerdcaveretro@gmail.com, and we'll do a morning show.
I would love to do that.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite podcasting I've ever done was during COVID when I did my morning show on Facebook. I loved doing that because I had a pretty decent audience, because it's like, what else is everybody going to do? They just sit around and listen to me talk about movies for half an hour.
Maybe we should just say, screw it. Let's quit our jobs and just start a morning podcast and see what happens. We could even have Joey on, because Joey was talking about doing Mr. Joey Image was talking about doing a morning podcast every morning type of thing. I think that would be awesome. We could get enough people listening.
I'd love that.
Make money at it and just have fun. That'd be great.
Ah, if only.
Well, did you get into any games this weekend?
So this might shock you, but I've actually gotten into mobile gaming quite a bit.
Ooh.
Over the last week.
Do tell.
So, and I give most of the credit to the Delta app. Mm-hmm. I've been playing a lot of Secret of Evermore over the last few days. And then I got into doing crossword puzzles as part of like my morning routine. And then from there, you know, I saw all these different games get advertised. And one of them, I'll look it up real quick because I got my phone here with me. It is called Twisted Tangle, where these different like strings are tangled up in knots and you have to move them and manipulate them in order to get all the knots untangled. Mm-hmm. They're cool little like brain testers.
I've heard of that before.
In my
opinion. I've played a game like that before. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, so I've been getting into mobile gaming quite a bit over the last several days.
So
it's partially because I've been, you know, on the road a lot and I haven't been home all that much. So it's been pretty convenient.
Do we want to make bets on how long it takes for Nintendo to put the cease and desist on the Delta app?
I'm surprised it hasn't happened already.
I
thought it would
surprised.
Last a day.
I give it maybe another week, and then Nintendo's going to start sicking the lawyers on them.
I'm just waiting for one day whenever I open that app and it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into my backyard and go, no!
I started playing Jedi Survivor. I started playing that a lot over the weekend because it's on Game Pass now. And it's really good. If you enjoyed the first game, you'll definitely like this one. And I ran into something the other night that I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but there's this kind of the first area you get, kind of the first planet you get to after you leave Coruscant, the first kind of the opening of the game, and you go to this planet because your ship crashes, and the first town you come to, the lady says that there's a mine. Like, you get a quest from her about how there's a mine nearby and the miners are missing. So I went into the mine just looking for the miners, and I ran across something down there that killed me about 20 times in a row. So then I left to get stronger, left and did some more quests and got a few more points to my Jedi stuff and everything, lightsaber. And I was like, all right, maybe it's time to go back. So I went back and it whipped my ass another 6 or 7 times. I'm like, I don't know what to do here. So I just kind of just going to leave it and come back later.
Yeah, I think that's a smart decision. That's always so demoralizing whenever you train up so much. You're like, oh, I can beat this boss or this enemy I can't get by. And then it's like, nope. If anything, you do worse than you did trying before.
But the game's great. It's just I even put it on the lowest difficulty so I could get past this thing. I'm not going to say what it is, but I can't get past it. So I don't know what else to do other than just wait and come back later.
Yeah, the thing at the place.
Yeah, the thing down in the mine shaft. So be careful down there, everybody. If you're playing the game, be careful.
Watch your step.
But we got some news to get to. Would you like to get to it?
Sure.
Some of tonight's stories were sent to us by Armez Jackson. So if you have a news story you'd like us to cover, send them to nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. And this first story isn't really a story, but it is we got contacted on Facebook by some people at Art of Play Games. And they have a new Kickstarter for Lady Death. If you were a comic book fan back in the 90s, you definitely know who Lady Death is. They have a new game called Lady Death Demonicron.
Demonicron.
Yeah, Demonicron. And they had a $154,000 goal. They've already blown past it. It's at $187,000 right now. But they have a bunch of tiers, and it is an all-new side-scrolling, sword-slicing, magic-wielding, 15-level multiplayer beat-em-up that merges the best aspects of the 1990s 16-bit era arcade classics, a little bit of Streets of Rage, a pinch of Golden Axe, and a dash of Mortal Kombat, all mixed together with a killer 90s industrial metal soundtrack. And I watched the trailer for it, and this thing looks great. I think I might back it. I'll get the digital download of it, but this looks great. But there's 18 days to go, so just go on. I'll put the link in the show notes, but it's kickstarter.com/projects/art-of-play-games, and you should find it there.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that they've blown past their goal with still over 2 weeks to go.
Yeah.
We're recording this, there's 18 days to go, so still plenty of time to back it. I think I'm going to do same as you, back it and get the digital download. But yeah, this looks really, really cool. I watched the trailer earlier today, and it looks like, you know, classic beat 'em up with some nice modern comic style graphics, and I really like it.
And the digital tier, they have a bunch of tiers for this thing. The 2A Demonicron Devilish Digital is $53 in Australian, but about $36 American. So for about $36, you can go get yourself a digital copy of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, but definitely go check it out. There's a cool story behind the creation of the game. It's also got, you know, bios of everybody who was involved with the making of it. It's a really, really detailed Kickstarter page.
Yeah, and I'm working really on getting an interview with them right now. So I'm just waiting for them to let me know when their schedule's free, and we're going to do an interview with them, and we'll put it out on the feed for you guys.
Yeah, that'll be fun. From NintendoLife.com, Nintendo World Championships NES Edition for Switch, rated by the ESRB. Following a rather blatant tease from a reliable leaker, I can't talk tonight, Pioro, a rating has appeared via the ESRB for Nintendo World Championships NES Edition for the Switch. Described as a collection of 2D challenges and platformer games, it's also noted that the game will likely contain in-game purchases. What these are exactly is unknown at this time, but hopefully Nintendo will have an official announcement lined up soon. The official description reads, "This is a collection of 2D challenges and platformer games in which players traverse through various modes, like speedrun or survival. Several challenges involve reaching specific points, while others prompt players to defeat small enemies or survive brief battles. Some games depict pixelated characters using small swords or arrows to strike at enemies. Enemies typically get stunned or disappear in a flash." So there's no like concrete release date for it yet, but this is, and the article points it out too, this reminds me of the NES remix that came out a while back. This does sound really cool.
So I wonder if Nintendo would ever do another Nintendo World Championship type of thing like they did back then. Why don't they do stuff like that anymore?
Well, you know where it has to be, right?
Yeah, it has to be in Universal Studios in California.
I know you said you watched the Knuckles series. Did you catch the Wizard references?
Yes, I did.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah, it was awesome. That show was pretty good. I meant to talk about that up top before we went into the news, but I enjoyed the series. If you watch the movies, the Sonic movies, and you enjoyed them, you'll like the show. But there's a lot going on in 6 episodes, and me and Derek talked about it. That should have been 8 episodes at the bare minimum.
Yeah, they tried to cram a lot into 6 episodes. I don't know why it was only 6. I think 8 would have been the perfect number for the story they were trying to tell. But if you liked Sonic 1 and 2, the movies, you'll love the Knuckles series. It's, I think, a little more absurd, which is hard to say, but it really leans into the over-the-topness.
Also, too, you could definitely tell the writers really loved Kingpin, the Coen Brothers bowling movie back in the 90s, because I got a lot of Kingpin vibes out of that show.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, the Nintendo World Championship NES edition, I'd like to know a little more about it before I say I'm going to get it. But I think the idea of it is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be fun to do if it was like, a, you know, $4.99 or something. Just something small you could throw down for it. Because it's only like going to be, if it's like the original World Championship cartridge, it's like the first level of, you know, Super Mario Brothers and things like that. Just little short challenges. I would pay $4.99 for something like that.
Yeah, same.
But the next story is from TimeExtension.com. Incredibly rare SNES prototype goes up for auction. A prototype Super Famicom SNES console has gone up for auction in Japan. The system is largely the same as the design, which would eventually appear in Japan and Europe, save for the fact that it has a red power switch, an expansion port on the front rather than the bottom, and a 3.5 millimeter headphone socket and volume dial on the side. It's currently up for auction on Yahoo Japan, and at the time of writing, the price is 51,000 yen, around 270 pounds. So what would that be in American dollars? About 250 bucks, maybe?
Let's see. Yen to U.S. dollars.
So 51,000 yen is how much in American dollars?
Oh, come on.
Let's see. It says there are three other known variants that exist, as seen in various magazines from the period. So really, there's only three of these that exist.
That's crazy. Let's see. Basically, $330.
Oh, that's not bad. I mean, for something
it'll go for more than that, though.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's only three of these in existence, so it's got to go for way more than that.
If only I could get one.
Yeah,
that'd be such a great thing to have. I actually do really like the Japan edition of the Super Nintendo console.
I do too. I mean, it's very
I want to get one day.
I wish the American version would have been that same design.
Instead of looking like a giant brick.
Yeah.
Well, what can you do?
Yeah.
Let's see. Next up, our last story from Nintendo.com. Coming soon, Nintendo Switch games arriving in May 2024. There are a lot of great games arriving this month for the Switch family of systems, which include Endless Ocean Luminous, which, as of this recording, is already out, which you take a deep breath and plunge into the Veiled Sea, an unexplored region with discoveries that change with each dive, encounter and learn about over 500 species of marine life. We have Pac-Man Mega Tunnel Battle, Chomp Champs, being released on May 8th.
Say that three times fast.
Moving on. Little Kitty Big City coming out on May 9th. Animal Well coming out on May 9th as well. The big one of the month, the remake of Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door, which will be released on May 23rd. Did you hear about the debate with that? So like the Switch version is only running at 30 frames per second, whereas the GameCube version ran at 60. But my thing is, like, casual gamers not really going to notice that.
Yeah, and plus it's just it's not like you're playing a twitchy shooter. You know, it's a slow moving RPG, so does it need to be more than 30 frames a second?
I don't think it's that big a deal. I think it's people just reaching for an argument. And then last but not least, Duck Detective, The Secret Salami, which I love that title, coming out on May 23rd. I've got to read this description. You are a down-on-his-luck detective who also happens to be a duck. Aggressuco meets Return of the Obra Den in Duck Detective, a cozy mystery game about a down-on-his-luck duck searching for answers in a sinister sausage-based conspiracy. Inspect and interview suspects to learn their hidden secrets, then use the information you've gathered, plus your own deductive reasoning, to locate the suspect and and bust the case wide open. I have to play this game. This sounds so absurd that it would be great.
It sounds interesting. And also,
yeah, I'll have to watch the trailer when we're done.
Mushmouth in the chat room says lower frames per second rate can mess with time inputs in battle, though, potentially. Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. I still think that casual gamers aren't really going to notice that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Little Kitty Big City looks kind of fun, too. I want to play a cat running around the city.
I figure that would be right up your alley.
Yeah, it would be. I'd play that. But that's going to bring us to the end of the news, and now it's time for video game history. Oh, and before we move on, Joey in the chat room says the Super Famicom prototype is currently at 1,023,000 yen, which is $6,649.5, and it's on Syndico, which is where you can get a lot of retro gaming stuff straight from Japan.
Yeah, I knew it was going to get up to that amount. Yeah. I wonder if it'll break 10,000.
It might. I don't see why it wouldn't.
I could see it.
We'll see. We'll keep an eye on it and see what it ends up as.
Absolutely.
On May 6th of 1986, Infocom releases the highly regarded Trinity. Oh yeah, I remember us. We've been talking about this every single year, and every year I'm like, this artwork for the game looks cool, and I want to try this game, and I never do.
It reminds me of what was that show? Oh, Stargate. Yeah. For some reason, the cover makes me think of Stargate.
It makes me think of, you remember that show Millennium with...
Yeah.
What's that guy's name? He played Bishop in Aliens. It was an offshoot of the X-Files, too. That's a really good show.
Yeah. I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head.
But anyway, it's a great show. If you have never seen Millennium, go check it out. I don't even know if it's streaming anywhere. It's one of those hard shows to
Lance
find.
Henriksen.
Lance Henriksen.
That's who it was. Yeah. He's been in a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Also, in 1986, on May 27th, Enix releases Dragon Quest for the Famicom, which is usually considered the foremost Japan RPG video game, and is the first game in a series that has been phenomenally successful in Japan. This is another thing that we talk about every year, because there's a ton of these games.
Yeah, I've always wanted to review Dragon Warrior for the NES, but it just seems like such a long game.
Yeah, that'll be one that you'll have to like plan it out like a month in advance.
Yeah, I might have to do that. It might have to be a Christmas vacation type of game.
So in the main series, there are 11 mm-hmm. Dragon Quest games.
Yeah, they're still going.
And that doesn't include the numerous spinoffs.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's pretty successful.
Mm-hmm.
May 24th of 1993, Sega of America introduces the first ever video game content rating system, the Video Game Rating Council.
Which is actually a cool sounding name.
The VRC. I kind of like that better than the ESRB.
I know, it's like you have to, it's like you're in the prequel trilogy in Star Wars. Yeah. You have to get approval from the council.
It's the prequel to the ESRB.
Hey, there we go. Just made a great reference. I love it. May 1st of 1996, GameSpot and GameFAQs are launched. I used the heck out of GameFAQs back in the day.
Oh, yeah, I still do. I still use it, especially when I'm doing walkthroughs and stuff.
And the crazy thing is the layout of their website hasn't really changed at all.
It still looks 1996. Like straight out of the 90s.
I know. I looked, I think it was about a week ago, to look for a walkthrough with Secret of Evermore, and I was like, wow, I feel like I'm taking a trip back in time.
Yeah, I had to look up a walkthrough for Mad Max on game FAQs, and we'll get to it in a bit, because even a walkthrough can't help that game at all. We'll get to it here soon. Let's see, May 1st of 2002, Bethesda releases The Elder Scrolls III Morrowind in North America. That was in 2002?
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. 22 years ago.
Yeah, and I've never played Morrowind. I didn't really become aware of Elder Scrolls until Oblivion.
Well, that's the thing, is I remember everybody talking about Morrowind when Oblivion came out, because that was the first one I played too. But it still doesn't seem like that long ago.
Mm-mm. Makes you wonder when we're going to get another Elder Scrolls game.
Yeah, then I think about it. What was the last one that came out? Not Oblivion. But
Skyrim.
Skyrim. That was, what, like 2010 when Skyrim came out?
Something like that. Let's see. 2011.
Good Lord.
12 years ago.
They're still putting out, like, you know, updated editions of it.
I remember it came out on the Switch, and I'm like, y'all are a little late to the game.
Yeah,
on
no
that
kidding.
One. Yeah, I still remember, like it was yesterday, going to GameStop in Pace and waiting in line for the midnight release of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And the line was, like, all the way, like, down the plaza that the GameStop was in.
Miss midnight releases. Those were so fun.
I know. The Halo Reach one was great, too.
Yeah.
And let's see, last but not least, May 11th of 2004, speaking of feeling old, okay, Nintendo officially announces its Revolution console, which, of course, would later be named the Wii.
So the Wii is officially retro, is what we're saying here.
As far as it being announced, yes. I don't think it came out until 06.
We've been doing this show too long. You realize that? That's what's happening here.
In 5 years, I'm going to be like, oh, that Halo Reach is going to be our next review on the Nerd Cave Retro podcast.
Oh, man. And Josh Halam in the chat room says, I bought Skyrim for $13 for the 360 at Walmart, and I think it's still $50 on Switch. That's not untrue. They're still charging full price for that game everywhere, I think.
Yep, no lies told there.
But before we go into the review for tonight, Derek, would you like to do our Patreon shout-outs?
As always, we like to do our awesome shout-outs to our amazing patrons over at patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. We want to shout-out Brian Piotrowski, Nick W., Eld the Zombie, Yup Fed, a.k.a. Knife, James, a.k.a. at Jimbo Jr. over on our Discord, Raven, Danny House, Justin Nispel, John West, Daniel Salmon, Mr. B-Rez Coffee himself, Mike Eveland, Tyler Watson, Axeblade07, Armez Jackson, Carlos Longoria, a.k.a. I am the Rampage, Staff Sergeant Sketch, Gus and Penny, Matthew Salmon, Mr. Joey Image, and of course,
Mama Diamond.
Donna Diamond, thank you all so much for your continued contributions and keeping the lights on for us here at the Nerd Cave Retro Podcast. We say it every week, but it's not changing. For as little as a dollar a month, you get your own RSS feed. And if you use an app like I use Downcast to listen to all my podcasts. When you get your RSS feed and you plug it into your podcast app of choice, in the description it will say Nerd Cave Retro RSS feed for insert your name. I think that's really cool.
Yeah,
I feel like this was custom made for me.
It's a set it and forget it type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And the show has no ads. With the Patreon version, you just get to hear us talk uninterrupted for however long the episode is, which may be a good or a bad thing, depending on who you ask. But you also get early access to our monthly bonus episodes, which for the most part includes a commentary track for an animated series or a full-length movie. But for April, we did something a little different. We pitched video games to adapt into TV series. And I think we need to do more of that.
I love that episode. It's not out for the public yet, so it's still behind the Patreon paywall. So if you haven't, if you're a patron and you haven't listened to it yet, go listen to it. It's one of the most fun shows we've done, and I agree. We need to do more episodes like that for the bonus episodes.
Yeah. Joey, I just saw your comment. I fixed the picture behind me. But yeah, if you want to be a part of our awesome Patreon community, just head over to patreon.com/nerdcaveretro. And for new patrons, be sure to send us your social media info, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, so we can give you a proper shout out.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And tonight I'm going to be talking about... Mad Max is a post-apocalyptic action game developed by a Canadian studio Grey Matter and published by Mindscape for the NES in 1990. It is based on the 1981 film Mad Max Road Warrior, and it is a remake of Road Raider. I've never heard of Road Raider, but it looks like it is. Now, I'm just now looking at this, and Road Raider is another, it was made by the same Mindscape, but it literally is a Mad Max ripoff. Like, yes. Go to the Wikipedia page.
The character even looks like Mel Gibson.
Yeah, I imagine, like, they were, like, gonna get sued, and they were just like, we can sell it to you, and you can make it a Mad Max game. That's probably what happened, because there's no way that they can get away with this without getting sued.
See, that would be smart strategy, though, if that was their means of, you know, avoiding a lawsuit. Just be like, hey, you know what? Just buy it and throw Mel Gibson's likeness on the cover.
I mean, they probably didn't have to change much, because there's not much in this game to, I mean, it's... Let me just tell you here's some of the setting of the game. You are in the post-apocalyptic wasteland, and you're driving around Mad Max's car, and I forgot the name of the car that he uses. It's the Mad Max car that you're driving around in, and you have you get the there's barricades and other cars trying to kill you at all times. There's barricades to go through, and to get through them, you throw dynamite from the car, but you have a limited amount of dynamite, so you have to drive around and find these caves where you drive up to the cave, and he will get out of the car and go inside the cave, and you can run around picking up items like more health or, you know, water, gasoline, ammunition, and, or, you know, dynamite. And the first time I had to look at a walkthrough for this game, because I had no idea what I was supposed to be doing in this game. It is not intuitive whatsoever. So I was looking at the walkthrough, and I'm trying to do what it says to do, and I kept passing up the cave I'm supposed to go into, because everything's just like monochrome. Everything's like the same color, just shades of brown in this game, except for the road. Roads are gray. Everything else is just shades of brown and, like, burnt sienna. So you can't tell what anything is. So I finally, after passing up this cave 20 times, I finally find it. I go in, and guess what happens? I immediately fall through the floor to my death. And there's
that does not
no,
sound like a very pleasant experience.
There's no, and this entire game, it's literally one death, and that's it. You got to start over from the beginning.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there's no like continues or anything. It's straight up just if you die, that's it. You go back to the beginning of the game.
Let me ask you this. So you mentioned dynamite as a weapon. So like, is that the only weapon you have in the game?
Except for when you're out of the car and you're in the caves looking for all the stuff you need to get. That's when you have your shotgun. And I guess it's unlimited ammo because I was just running around in the caves shooting people, looking for all the stuff, you know, the water and the gas. That's another thing that sucks about the game is you're constantly running out of gas. You know what happens when you run out of gas? Game over.
You die and you have to start over.
You die and you have to start over. So this game, in here in my notes, this game should just be called Death the Game. Because that's all you're doing is just dying and starting over.
And is the cover, you just have a skull and crossbones.
Yeah, that's it.
And that's it. White crossbones, black background.
And my first note was, what the hell is this game? Because there's no intuitive nature to it. Like, there's, unless you have a walkthrough or you go to YouTube and look at a gameplay video, how would you even know what to do in this game? Because what you're supposed to do is you go and you find these caves that are scattered around the map while avoiding other drivers trying to wreck into you and kill you. There are strongholds next to the roads that when you drive past them, they'll throw dynamite at you. That, you know, damages you. And then you get to these caves. And then you got to go all the way back to, there's a store you go to, and you have to get enough stuff and money or items to trade for the battle arena that you have to go to. And you have to win that battle arena with your car, be the last car standing in order to go to the next map. And I couldn't even make it that far because guess what? I couldn't even get to the arena because I kept running out of gas. I just couldn't get there.
I mean, I know that in the Road Warrior, gas was like a premium, but that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, and your car is constantly, you have a gas gauge on the screen, and no matter how much gas I find, it never goes past like a quarter of a tank, ever.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And even if you're just idling, you're still using gas, so you have to constantly be on the move. But you don't know where you're going, so you're just aimlessly driving around everywhere looking for, you know, hidden caves and trying not to get killed wherever you go.
I mean, my question would be, like, what is the purpose of the game? Like, what's the end goal? But if you really think about it, like, in the movie, like, the goal is to survive.
That's basically
so, like,
all
I
it
get
is.
It, but I don't know if that translates well to a video game.
This
though.
Is literally just a survival game. Is all it is. You have three levels from what I've read. I didn't even get past the first level, but from what I read about the game, there's three levels. Each level, you have to get enough stuff to go buy an arena pass, go into the arena, win the arena, then you go to the next level. And at the third level, and here's what it says in the wiki. It says, after the third and final arena battle, the player engages in a one-on-one crossbow battle with the final boss of the game. The crossbow and ammo are both collected within the mines on the third Road War level. If the player wishes to start here, they must enter the password for the last Road War rather than the final arena battle. Here's the kicker. If the player enters the password for the final arena battle, the player will not have enough crossbow ammo to kill the final boss, even if every single one hits him. It is unknown whether this was an untested bug in the game or if it was a trick by the game developers. And I'm of the opinion that these game developers hated children, and I will stand by that statement.
Yeah, I think they did that as a way to try to teach the gamers, like, hey, don't be cheating.
Yeah, I mean, There's no way to know what you're supposed to do in this, because it's not like you just run into random people and they tell you what to do. You literally, if you had bought this game in 1990, you would just have to figure this game out. But I don't even know how you would figure out what you're supposed to do or where to go. Or, you know, these maps are kind of huge and there's nobody telling you where to go and what to do. It just seems like random chaos in this game.
You know what would be hilarious? A lot of times you'd have to use the instruction manual that would come with the game.
Yeah.
What if the instruction manual was blank?
That's what it says. Just you open it up, it's just empty.
Yeah, it's just like 10 pages of empty paper.
And one of my biggest issues with this game, now when you have a game where driving and you have that kind of overhead view of everything, there's an intuitiveness to driving. And we talked about RC Pro-Am a few weeks ago, and we talked about it also. That was a re-review of RC Pro-Am, and we both agree that is, you know, that how to drive in that type of game, RC Pro-Am did it perfectly because it's intuitive with the way that you use a D-pad with a driving game. This game does the exact opposite. It's almost the same as... Do you ever played Who Framed Roger Rabbit and you're trying to use the cab in that game? Like, it is completely the exact opposite of how you think it would be to drive in a game like this. And I couldn't get used to it at all.
It sounds like they saw what RC Pro-Am did and said, hey, that worked. Let's do the opposite.
Yeah, let's do the opposite of that. And I just couldn't get used to it. I could not get used to how the driving is in this game.
And you would think with that being such an integral part of the game, that'd be the number one thing that they would want to get right.
Yeah, because that's 90% of the game is driving. And they got it completely wrong.
So is there anything good about this game?
When I stopped playing it.
I love that answer. That sounds like something I would say.
I even wrote in my notes here, I think I might hate this game more than Fester's Quest. I think we may have found one of the worst NES games I've ever played in my life.
Well, I could say as the one who was the tiebreaker for what you were going to review, I would just simply say, you're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks. At least I got it out of the way and I never have to do it again.
I think that'd be an accomplishment though, because that the Fester's Quest rant has stood the test of time. Now, granted, like, you're not ranting about this game like you did with Fester's Quest, but to say that you might hate it this worse than that, that's a pretty bold statement.
Yeah, I mean, I have a seething hatred of Fester's Quest ever since I was a kid, so it's just been... That game has just been festering in my hatred of that game for 30 plus years because
unintended.
I paid hard-earned money for that game as a child, and it was so disappointing. But this game, I kind of expected it to be bad, so it wasn't as big of a shock to be like, oh, this game sucks. I don't have to spend the summer trying to enjoy it when it's not enjoyable.
Yeah, just you wash the taste out of your mouth by like playing the PS4 version or just watching the movies.
Yeah, and Nick W. in the chat room says, this game sounds terrible. I heard good things about the PS4 and Xbox One version that came out a few years ago, and I did want to bring that up, is the Mad Max game that came out a few years ago, which is still available. I think you can get it for like $5 now everywhere. It's like on Steam, PS4. Xbox One, I'm surprised you can't get it on Switch at this point, but that game is one of the best open world games. Like, it's like Red Dead Redemption, but set in the Mad Max world, and it's the perfect mishmash of the Fury Road version of Mad Max and the Road Warrior version of Mad Max. It's like those two mashed together. And it's such a good game. Like, I loved every second of that game. I cannot recommended enough. And that just playing this NES game, I'm just like, I'm just going to go play the PS4 game and forget that this 8-bit abomination ever happened.
Joey's right. It would be $40 on Switch.
Of course it would.
Get it for $5 for the PlayStation, $60 for the Switch.
Yeah, it would run half as well as it did on the PS4.
Yeah. About like that GoldenEye port that they did that we talked about at Pensacon.
But yeah, if you're a Mad Max fan, I say just skip this altogether. I mean, I love the Mad Max universe. I love Road Warrior and Fury Road are my two favorite Mad Max movies. The other ones are watchable, but the first one is just, let's just admit, that first Mad Max movie is just boring.
The last like 15 minutes are great.
Mm-hmm.
Everything before that is a snooze fest.
But I love being in that world, that Mad Max universe. That's why I love the PS4 version so much. But this is a swing and a miss right here. There's no reason to go back and play this game because it is absolutely broken as a video game.
Yeah, I mean, it's still disappointing because you think of that universe and you see what happened with the PS4 version of it. And yeah, it's... part of it is the time, but they could have done a lot better with this. I think it's just disappointing because that world is so cool and makes for a great game. And then you just do really nothing with it.
See, if I was to make a game like this, especially back then, 8-bit style for the NES, I would have made it in two sections of the game. You would have one section of the game that would be driving from place to place, but do it sort of like Road Blasters. And then you would have like your side scrolling. So it would almost be kind of a mishmash like Blaster Master, but instead of having a top down, I would just do like a side scroller to get through a level, kill a boss, and then you get in your car and you do like a Road Blasters type of, you know, in between levels, get to the next level, and it's, you know, another side-scrolling level. Do that for like 8 or 9 levels, you would have an awesome game. But to do this sort of just, like, I don't understand how they had to have testers for this game. And using the D-pad to control the car the way the game does, how did nobody say, we got to fix this because this is terrible?
You just got to get the game out there as quick as possible.
When did RC Pro-Am come out? Let's just real quick. I'm already on Wikipedia. I'm going to look up RC Pro-Am. It came out in 88. So Pro-Am had 2 years on Mad Max. 2 years that they could have looked at RC Pro-Am and said, this is how you control a car in this style of game.
I don't get it. You know what would actually have been a really cool thing? Like you mentioning the battle arenas. Why didn't they include the Thunderdome?
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, like that would have been awesome.
That could have been the final boss areas you fight in the Thunderdome.
Yeah, you have to fight Blaster Master or Master Blaster.
Blaster.
And why not? That would have been awesome. But there was just so many missed. That's one thing I hate about when they did these movie tie-in games back in the day. They were just so half-assed and just could have done a great job with these games, but they just half-assed everything and just made these terrible video games that just are horrible and they just don't hold up at all.
Yeah, that would be another great top five to do. Top five worst adaptations.
I mean, I could... Fester's Quest number one.
Mad Max number two.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit number three. That would be a tough top five to do because there's a lot of terrible video game or movie video games from back then.
Now I'm just thinking of a lot of them. Let's get to something positive.
Yeah, I don't really have much positive to say about Mad Max for the NES. Just I didn't find anything enjoyable about this game at even the parts where you go into the caves and it turns into the kind of the top down shooter. It looks so bad. Like, it's terrible looking. This game is so, it's just terrible looking. It has horrible music, horrible graphics, and horrible gameplay. There's nothing good about this game.
Except that feeling you get when you switch the game off.
Yep. And knowing
nothing can replicate it.
Knowing that I never have to play it again, ever.
And after hearing what you said, I will never play it.
But I don't have much more to say about Mad Max. It's terrible. And out of 10, this gets a 2. It's just, it's not worth your time. So don't even bother.
Man, that's rough.
Yeah, I think, I don't even know what I gave Fester's Quest, but I feel like Mad Max has to be lower than Fester's Quest.
We could say Fester's Quest gets a 2.5.
Yeah, probably 2.5 or 3. This gets a 2. I don't know if anything could possibly be bad enough to be a 1, because I give a 2 just for actually being made. Like, if you get, as terrible as a game is, if it gets made, it gets a 2.
You're more generous than me. I give an automatic 1 for the fact that the game was made.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I should adjust mine. I'll give it, if we're going to go by that scale, it gets a 1 just for literally being made. Like, they put time into making the game. That makes it a 1.
I wonder if we'll ever review something that's so bad that we give it a 0.
Oh, I'm sure there's games out there that are that bad. We just haven't run across them yet.
Which is more than likely a good thing.
Nick W. brings up Bart versus the Space Mutants is pretty bad as well.
I've never played that game, but I've heard that it is really bad.
I remember renting it as a kid and kind of enjoying it, but I might actually have to do that soon and go back and see if it holds up at all. I imagine it doesn't, because it is made by LJN, so it gets it's already got the warning label on it.
The legendary LJN.
Yeah.
Not necessarily legendary for a good reason.
Yeah.
But legendary nonetheless. But
that's going to have to wait, because I need to play something good for the next review.
Hey, we are playing something good next week. Yeah.
Speaking of which, what are we doing, Derek?
We are going to be doing a dual review of at least what's, in my opinion, the most recognizable PC game of our generation, Oregon Trail.
Yep.
And I have not played this game in a long time, and I can't wait.
And if you'd like to play it as well, let me look up, what is the name of that site again?
It was
Classic Games Online. Play Classic. I think it's playclassic.games.
Yep.
So if you want to play some Oregon Trail, that's where you do it.
Yeah, I'm really excited to dive into that.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun chat.
Oh, yeah. And other than that, wanted to let everybody know that we do have some new merch available in the shop. The Embarrassingly Retro merchandise is now available at ncrmerch.com. I think it's a pretty sweet design, and thank you to I Am the Rampage for giving us some design ideas for the shirt. And made it this weekend, and it's up on the store if you'd like to go check it out. ncrmerch.com.
Dare I say, I think it's our best looking shirt.
I mean, that's, maybe we'll see what happens when people go check it out.
In this guy's opinion, it's the best looking shirt we have. But yeah, definitely go check that out. It's a great looking design. You can pick, you know, between all kinds of different colors. If you like blue, you can get it on a blue shirt, red, green, whatever the case is.
It looks really good on the yellow shirts. Like, it looks very retro on the yellow shirts.
I haven't decided what color I'm going to get yet.
I might get either yellow or royal blue, one of the two.
The royal blue does look really good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks good on all the shirts, so go judge for yourself and get yourself one.
Got to get that and my Wally shirt.
Yeah. But what's happening with the Derek Diamond experience? Is the big change happened yet?
Not yet. So 2 episodes to go. Funny enough, speaking of video games, my upcoming guest this week actually has a video game tie-in. I'm going to be interviewing actor and producer Drew Moorline, who, if you've seen the upcoming Marvel game starring Captain America, I think it's called The Rise of Hydra.
Yeah.
The game is done cinematic style, and Drew Moorline is playing Captain America.
Oh, that's awesome.
In that
I remember
video
you
game.
Telling
so,
me about that. Yeah, that's cool.
So the episode didn't come out today because we're not being able to do the interview until tomorrow. So the podcast will be out this upcoming Wednesday. And then this coming Monday is episode 400 with Shabana Azmi, who played Admiral Perengoski in the Halo series.
Sweet. I can't wait for
and
that.
And the crazy thing is, so she lives in India. So we had to do the interview at 7 a.m. my time.
Oh, wow.
Which was, I mean, I'm up early anyway, so it wasn't really that big a deal for me. But for those that, you know, and we haven't been very kind to the Halo series, we get into a lot of the criticisms of it.
Yeah.
On the podcast, which I will give her credit that she's the one who brought it up. So we have a, and I feel like I'm fair in my assessment of the show. So that'll be out a week from today. At linktree.com/ddiamondpodcast.
And if you like comedy, you like behind the scenes comedy stuff, go check out the Open Micers podcast with me and Mr. Jacob Craig at Open Micers on Instagram and Twitter, openmicers.com. We have had some excellent, excellent episodes over the last few months. This last week, Jacob did the podcast from his car, so it was very interesting trying to keep him connected on Zoom then trying to do the episode. So go check it out at openmicers.com.
Fantastic.
But is there anything else before we get out of here this week?
I think that's it.
If you want to email us at nerdcaveretro@gmail.com. Nerdcaveretro.com is our link tree. That takes you to all of our socials, our Patreon, a merch shop, which is ncrmerch.com. Go get yourself an embarrassingly retro t-shirt or a mug or a bag, magnet, whatever you want. Stickers. We got all kind of stuff over there in the shop. Follow us on social media at NerdCaveRetro, at JPunktastic, and at Derek_Diamond. Join our Patreon at $1 a month. And if you can't do that, we understand. Times are tough. If you can't do that, at least go leave us a review and or a 5-star rating on all podcasting platforms. So, Derek, please tell them what it's all about.
May the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.
Yes.
Master Blaster runs Bogotown.
Hey, Derek, have you heard the news?
What news?
We officially have our very own line of coffee at brezcoffeeco.com.
That's right. Nerd Cave Retro now has its very own medium roast coffee.
If you want to try it yourself or even some of the other awesome flavors like Wizard's Potion, which is a butterscotch, caramel, and hazelnut flavored roast.
Or the Dragon's Breath roast, which is a cinnamon dolce flavored roast.
They have tons of different flavors, and you can also just get a regular Colombian roast and add any flavor to it that you want. They even keep their seasonal roasts all year round.
If you need that boost to get you through those all-night gaming sessions, then head over to brezcoffeeco.com and use the promo code NCR for 10% off your order.
This podcast is a Zoo House LLC production.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.